So hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to thank you for calling in today on our Saturday conference call. Chris, I see that you're there.
That's so funny. I got your message just as I was dialing.
Okay. So before we get started on the call, I'm going to give everybody kind of an update on what's going on here in Panama. On Panama, all of our borders are still closed. Nobody can leave and nobody can come in, with the exception of they have some humanitarian flights that are arranged by the embassies that get people that want to go, that need to go out for some reason, they can leave. I think we have two flights that are arranged for May for people going back to the United States. I know there's one for Europe of people going to that area. But other than that, the borders are still closed. And we're under a really tight quarantine. Some people are going stir crazy, and I think that's why they want to get on those humanitarian flights to get out. We're only allowed to leave our house or our property for 2 hours, and three times a week. For women, they can leave on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Men can leave on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. However, for the last 4 Saturdays, they have not allowed the men to leave it, or anybody to leave their house on a Saturday. And the reason for that is because a little more than two-thirds of the virus cases that we've had in Panama have been men. So they're trying to protect their health by saying don't go out. Also, there's always going to be problems with some people that are breaking the quarantine, that they're going out when they're not supposed to do. Since this whole thing started at the end of March, there's been over 23,000 men have been arrested for being out when they weren't supposed to be out. So unfortunately, the men that were following the rules are being punished because of the men that broke the rules. But it's also Panama's way of trying to protect them because so many of the cases that we've had here in Panama have been men. They have started talking about, but not given us any dates on when. In June, they may start having other flights going out of Panama through Copa Airlines. But they have been no announcements on when they're going to start having flights coming into Panama or what the rules are going to be. So right now we're still under pretty tight quarantine. There was a big announcement on Friday by the president that they're going to allow alcohol sales. We haven't been able to purchase any kind of alcohol since, I think, the 20th or 15th of March, something like that. But starting Friday, you could buy one bottle of wine or a six-pack of beer on those 2 hours whenever you can go out. So a lot of people are happy that that's available at least. So that's kind of what's going on here in Panama. And when I get new news, I'll post it on our Facebook group or send out an email about it. So now I want to introduce our guest is Chris, who lives in David. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jackie. How you doing?
As good as can be expected under the circumstances. So so let's tell everybody, when did you move to Panama?
I moved in October of 2012, so about 7.5 years ago.
Okay, so a little bit after I moved here. And did you look at some other countries before you picked Panama, or why move to Panama instead of some of the other places that are popular?
Well, we kind of had a checklist. Is it close enough to get back to the States? Is it warm? We don't want to go someplace where it's snow and ice. And, you know, and is it relatively stable and peaceful place to live? And it just checked all the boxes. And mm-hmm. It seemed the best option for Central America, which seems to be the best option for us, not being too far from the States, because I wanted to be able to see my family when I wanted to.
Your family's in the Northwest, is that right?
One daughter in Seattle and the other in Northern California.
Okay. Yeah, so they're over in that area. So from Panama, you can get to that area pretty quickly. When you come from the United States, one of the big pluses about moving to Panama is there's no currency exchange because Panama uses the U.S. dollar. Whereas if you go to Costa Rica or some other countries, Colombia, you're going to have an exchange rate that could certainly impact your buying power. So I'm sure that was something that played into your consideration as well.
That's important to my husband. For me, it's just, oh, do we have to do math again to find out how much this costs? But
yeah.
I know when currencies fluctuate, it can affect your buying power also.
Mm-hmm. So I live in Boquete, as you know, because I see you whenever you come up here with your band, and we'll talk about your band later on. But you moved to David. And there's actually a lot of expats that have moved, foreigners that have moved to the David area because it has so many amenities. What was it about, why did you decide to move to the David area?
Well, we knew that we're city people. And we looked at Panama City, and at our age, we thought that might be a little much. So we looked at David, and it was just right. We have hospitals and doctors and supermarkets and shopping and everything you could possibly need. If you can't find it here, I mean, it probably isn't anywhere. So we really like being close to everything we need on a daily basis. And we're not getting any younger, so we really appreciate having the health care available if we would need something. And we're just not comfortable out in the country. Some people love the quiet. I like hearing neighbors around and that kind of stuff. So I'm from New York City, so I feel more comfortable with that.
Right.
So
it's affordable in David also. Very affordable.
I think it's more affordable than Boquete.
Oh, definitely.
And there's a lot of options. You can get something for $1,200 a month if you want, or you can get something for $150 a month, you know, as far as housing. There's options all over all price ranges.
Yeah, there's a couple that I know that moved to David, and they have a cute, it's in just a regular Panamanian kind of a neighborhood, but I've been in the house. It's really cute. It's got a carport, two bedroom, two bath, and they're paying $350 a month. It's furnished. It includes everything except electricity. But, you know, those prices, you could not ever get that price in Boquete.
I know. We talk to people in the States, and they go, is that your water bill? No, that's our rent. We pay $385, which is probably low for our neighborhood because we've been here for so long. But it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, fenced yard, nice neighbors. They're working people, doctors, teachers, tradesmen. You know, so we're just really comfortable here. And, yeah, we have a carport. I'm sitting on my terrace looking at the banana trees right now. So it's worked out well for us. And, yeah, really affordable. We pay our electric and cable, and everything else is included in the rent, the water and the trash and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a great price.
I know. We feel very fortunate.
So the problem right now with our pandemic that's going on and that we can only go out 2 hours, it creates a bit of a problem because if you're 65 years old like I am and I can go out for 2 hours, well, all the other 65-year-olds are out then, so there's lines at the grocery store to get in. So I've just started getting all my groceries delivered. I don't even want to deal with the lines anymore. But when we don't have a pandemic going on, there's some amazing shopping opportunities in the David area. The grocery stores there are just as good as any grocery store that you'd see in North America. Many of them are open 24 hours a day. They have a huge selection of meats and produce and all the other things. In some of the smaller towns like Boquete, where I live, or Volcan, they don't have stores anywhere close to as nice as the stores are in David.
That's true. So, we live on the north side of town, and we have three really big supermarkets within two blocks of each other. So whatever it is, you can find it somewhere.
Yeah. So for some people that are thinking about moving overseas, if you want to have amenities that are going to be similar to what you're used to, grocery stores, department stores, malls, and things like that, well, Panama is going to be different. It's not going to be exactly the same. But if you go to a place like David, if you don't mind the warmer weather, then it's going to have many more amenities that are going to be available. That's something that looks like when you walk in the grocery store, you say, oh, this looks like a grocery store in Portland, Oregon, or this looks like a grocery store in Atlanta, Georgia. Whereas if you walk in a grocery store in Vulcan or Boquete, it's not going to be the same thing as what you would find in some of the bigger cities like David. But it is warm. I would actually call it hot. I moved from Texas, and one of the reasons I moved to Panama was because I wanted to get away from the hot weather. But some people, they just want to be away from the snow, and they would want sunshine all the time. So David is certainly a really good place to go for that. Chris, does the hot weather in David bother you at all?
Not really. We lived in Florida for 17 years before we came here, and summer in Florida is much more miserable than this. And, afternoons are hot. You don't want to go out in the sun. And we had an air conditioner. We need to get it fixed for the afternoons if it got too hot. But for me, Boquete's too cold. I wouldn't want to live up there. I'd need my jacket every night.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's too cold. But one of the great things about David also is that you're so close to everything. There is an airport there. They call it an international airport, but they don't have flights to North America. But you can get on one of those flights, be in Panama City in about 40 minutes, and then just change terminals and fly on to North America. But from David, you're also really close to some very nice beaches, and you're about a 30-minute drive to get up to Boquete if you want to go that way. So, do you take advantage of heading over to the beach very often?
I'm not much of a beach person. I burn immediately. Even in Florida, I had to go to the beach in the evening because I don't deal with the sun very well. But it's nice having the beaches nearby, and we're like in the middle. Half hour you can be at the beach, half hour you can be in the mountains. So we have a lot of flexibility, and it's so beautiful here. I mean, if you want to go out and explore the area, it is just gorgeous. Between the mountains and the beaches and the countryside, I mean, I feel like we have it all here.
Yeah,
So that makes it really nice.
and David isn't
And
that far, even from the Costa Rica border.
that's what, 40 minutes maybe?
Yeah, about
And
40-minute
if you're too
drive.
hot in David, just go up the mountain a little bit. There's a number of towns between here and Boquete, so you can go a little bit higher where it's cooler, but still not be terribly far from David and everything that you need down there. So there's a lot of options here.
So did you get health insurance in Panama, or do you just pay as you go like so many other people do because the prices are so affordable?
We pay as we go. We're both, thank goodness, healthy and don't take any medications. So we figured we'd probably be okay paying as we go, and I have some savings put aside just in case. But yeah, it is so affordable. I have Medicare back in the States, and I could probably get something major here for less than my deductible in the States. And what I found, the quality of healthcare here is really good. I've been very pleased with them, and I'm a nurse, so I know of what I speak.
Yeah,
Of course.
have you had any situations where you've had to go to a doctor or go to an emergency room at a hospital, and what was your treatment like?
Me personally, I had a thing with my eye, so I went to Cherokee Hospital and said, I need an eye doctor. And they're like, well, we have three. The closest one's down there. I went down there. Can you come back at 2 o'clock? So I got seen the same day. And he examined me, and I thought what he did was appropriate. It cost me, I think, $40 with my retired people discount. I don't know if you could even manage that in the States. I had a
Yes.
friend who came to visit. He had emphysema and was obviously in trouble. So I took him directly to Cherokee Hospital. The doctor saw him immediately, admitted him to the hospital. They kept him for a week, did everything I would expect to do for him, and I think it cost them $1,400. That's the hospital, the doctor, the lab, the food, I mean, everything.
Yeah,
So.
I know you've probably had the very same experience that when you go to see a doctor here, it's very common that they'll give you their cell phone or their home phone number and say, if you have any other problems, just call me. And the quality of the healthcare, they spend time with you. You're not just a number, they're not trying to rush you out. but they spend as much time with you as necessary to determine what's going on and to resolve the problem. Have you found that to be true also?
Yes, absolutely. You may have to sit there and wait for a while, but when it's your turn, there isn't the line of exam rooms. I mean, the office is the exam room, and the doctor will stay there with you for as long as you need and not make you feel rushed, make you feel like a human being. That's one of many reasons I'm so thankful to be here, is to have this health care available. In the States, most of my life I was uninsured, so a major health problem would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, getting care is a challenge. And like I said, I was a nurse, so I've seen it from both sides, trying to get care from my patients, advocate for my people. It's just difficult in the States and expensive. So here, I'm just so thankful. My husband's mother was here for the first 6 months. She saw a variety of doctors, was treated wonderfully. They respect the old people here, which I didn't really think about until we came down with her. And they were so kind to her. And they did her more good here than the care she had for years back in Florida.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy with healthcare here, short version.
Yeah. So when we don't have the quarantine and the pandemic going on, what are some things that you enjoy doing here in Panama?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, I'm retired. I could do whatever I want. It's like the huge gift to have this time to live my life as I please. You know, I like riding my bike, so I've ridden it all over the place, which is fun for exercise and getting out. You get to meet all kinds of people. They're so friendly. They're so happy to talk with you. All you got to do is say hello. You got a new friend. And, you know, I was into photography. I have a blog. I like putting around in the garden. I like visiting my friends. And that's not even counting the band I got involved with. So that totally upended my free time. But,
so tell us about your band. By the way, Chris is the bass player in the band, and the band is excellent. I've heard you many times. So tell
everybody how that all got started. Who in their wildest dreams would imagine I'd be playing in a rock band? But my husband's a singer and guitar player. He's done this all his life. And he got involved with these guys in Boquete. They put a band together, and their bass player moved to Colombia. And there aren't a whole lot of available bass players in the area. So I thought, well, let me see if I can manage to learn this thing. And the rest is history. That's been, what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, about two and a half years now I've been playing bass with them. Yeah.
So how often does your band play whenever we don't have these restrictions?
We usually played at the brewery once a week. And we played at Mike's Global maybe once or twice a month, and an occasional private party or some other venue. So we didn't play a lot, but that's plenty. I mean, we're retired. We're not looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once a week is great. We get out, we get to play some music, we get to see some people, we have fun. Then we go home again.
So I know some people that moved to Panama that come from the United States or from Canada, the Canadians seem to try to hang out with all the Canadians, and people from the United States try to hang out with other people from the United States, and Germans try to find other Germans to hang out with. But when you do that, it's nice to have those things available, and there's people from all over the world that have moved to Panama, but you really kind of miss the whole point of moving to another country. It's great that you can reduce your cost when you move to another country, but one of the biggest benefits of all is being able to experience a different culture, meeting people that live in another country, and getting to know them. So it sounds like in the neighborhood where you live, there's probably many more Panamanians than there are people from other countries. So I'm guessing that a lot of the people that you hang out with are Panamanians, your friends. Is that right?
Pretty much all Panamanians. I think there's a German guy in the neighborhood, but I don't know. I can't think of anybody else offhand who's not Panamanian.
Mm-hmm.
And we came here for the lower cost of living, never imagining what a wonderful experience this would be because of these people. I mean, they're the sweetest, kindest, gentle, wonderful people. I just love these my Panamanian friends, and I never would have known this culture and this way of life if we hadn't moved here. So I'm really thankful for that. But I think language is a huge thing. It was a big challenge to learn enough Spanish to even be able to communicate. And when I got here, I was still having a hard time. And, you know, if it's hard, of course it's much easier to hang out with other people who speak your native language. But for me, it's been well worth the effort to learn Spanish, and everybody has been super helpful. I carried a dictionary around for 4 years, and if I couldn't find the word, whoever it was, and I would look in the dictionary, here it is, here's this word. So they've really helped me along, and so, you know, it's worked out. It's been, like I said, over 7 years now, and I still have a lot of vocabulary I can't understand, and I have a lot to learn, but at least I can communicate.
Well,
so
the great
thing changes everything.
Yeah, one of the Panamanians are so welcoming, like you said, and if you'll just put forth a little bit of effort and have a big smile on, it goes a long way. Even if you butcher the language completely through sign language and just trying to figure things out, you can usually communicate. They'll help you. If you don't say the word just right, they don't criticize you a lot, but they'll just help you to get it right.
Oh, it's even worse. If you tell them I want to speak correctly, they won't tell you when you make mistakes. It's okay. We understand you. Don't worry. I'm like, no, you got to tell me when I say something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're super sweet and super nice about helping you in any way they can. I mean, I've had people, strangers on the street, stop what they're doing, take me to a store, help me find something, and expect nothing in return. That's just what they do here, you know? It's just such a nice feeling. You never feel alone. You never feel like you're without help if you get in a jam. And, yeah, if you don't know what you're saying, they'll try to figure it out. They'll try to help you. And it's just really nice to be with these people.
Mm-hmm. So another concern besides language that people have in moving to Panama or any foreign country is safety. What do you think about the safety here in Panama?
Well, of course, nothing's guaranteed anywhere, but our personal experience, we feel extremely safe here. I mean, if you drive through our neighborhood, there's a WhatsApp group, and if they don't know who you are, somebody will say, who is this white car with two men driving in the neighborhood? So, yeah, everybody watches out for each other, and I've never felt uneasy. I've never felt disrespected on the street or like I was unsafe. You know, like I said, I'm a New York City gal, so I'm pretty hard to scare, but still, you know, I feel pretty good here. And, of course, if you make friends with your neighbors, they'll all look out for you. You know, if somebody comes to your house, they'll come ask them, what are you doing here? So that's a pretty nice feeling.
Yeah, I know where I lived in Dallas, Texas, I would see my neighbors and we'd wave once in a while, but they were always so busy working. And even though I work from home as a real estate investor, you just didn't really get to know your neighbors very much because their life was just so busy working. But the neighbors in Panama, it seems like neighbors, they just take the time to get to know each other a little bit more. And they don't just wave, but they'll come over and say hi and talk a little bit. So it's a very different environment than what many people are used to.
Oh, it's the same in Florida. We were 17 years in the same house, and I didn't know half the people on our block. They drive in, the garage door goes up, they drive in, goes down, you never see them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, here all the neighbors know each other. They look out for each other. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Good. So what are some things that you miss from, I know your family, but other than your family, are there any things that you really miss from the United States?
Not really. When I go back, things are just easier. You know, if you got to renew your driver's license, you know you go to such and such office and you do A, B, and C and get it done. Here you've got to learn all these things, you know, okay, how do I go about accomplishing this? But once you learn the new processes, then it's a lot easier. And, you know, sometimes your brain gets tired at the end of the day trying to navigate around in Spanish. So it's easier when you can speak your native language all day. But, you know, that's pretty minor. But aside from family, not too much, really, surprisingly enough. I certainly don't miss the hurricanes.
No, or the weather.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Florida was a pain. Every summer, hurricane threatens. I was like, no more of that. Thank you very much. Here we have an occasional earthquake, and it gives somebody, you know, it gives everybody something to talk about. Did you feel it yesterday? Oh, yeah, I was sitting at home, you know, and that's the most exciting thing that happens here. And is it going to rain or is it not going to rain? So it's pretty nice to have all those worries just taken off your head, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Have you found that you've been able to get almost everything or everything that you really need here in Panama? Do you have to have things shipped in from North America sometimes?
I ship in. Actually, I usually ship stuff to my daughter's house and pick it up. I'm big, so clothes and shoes or something, especially shoes. I mean, no women here wear size 12. So that's been one thing I've had to get from the States. But that's pretty much it. Maybe your favorite spices, you can't find them here in town. You know, minor stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get frustrated, I remind myself these people have lived here for generations, and they're fine, and they have everything you need. So you'll be fine, too. And if you can't find your very favorite brand of something, there's always a substitute.
Yeah, there's a substitute, or you can order it on Amazon and get it shipped in if you have to.
Yeah. But even stuff like the tuning peg on my bass, it broke. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I go downtown. They sold me a new one for $7. Thank you. You know, even odd stuff like that, you wouldn't, you know, sometimes you won't find it where you expect to find it. You'll have to go to 5 stores hunting for it, which can be an adventure depending on how you look at it, but pretty much everything you need is here somewhere.
Yeah, it is. So what are some things that irritate you or that you don't like about Panama? Are there any things?
Not really. You know, like I said, sometimes getting things done is a process. You know, if you've read my blog about changing the title of the car from Panama City to, you know, Dolega, the next municipal up the road here, that was such a project. But it's all a matter of knowing where to go and what the process is, and if you haven't done it before, it can be a hassle. But that's probably my biggest challenge. And if you really hate it, you find somebody who knows what to do and you enlist their help.
Yeah, that's what I did. The last car that I bought was registered in Panama City, and this is something a lot of people don't know, but if your car is registered in one place and you live in a different place, every year you have to get your car re-registered. So that means you have to get an inspection, and of course you've got to make sure your insurance is renewed, and then you have to get new license plates and a new little sticker for your window. And you have to go to the area where your car is registered to do those things, or pay someone to go to the area where your car is registered to do that. So if you live in David, which is about a 7-hour drive to Panama City, that wouldn't be any fun at all to have to go to Panama City every year to handle that auto registration. The easy solution is to get your car re-registered closer to where you live, and then you can handle everything locally. You don't have to do it. So, but there's a process, and just knowing that you have to do that and knowing how to get it done. Once you get it done, then it's taken care of, but it's a bit of a hassle. I don't like hassles, so I just paid somebody to do it for me when I changed my registration from Panama City to Dolega.
Yeah, we paid somebody who did part of it, and then we did the local stuff ourselves, which, mm-hmm. like I said, was a bit of an adventure, but we got it done. But now all we have to do is go to Dolega, the next town up the road, you know, hand them our inspection and our insurance, and they'll hand us our stuff and charge us $35 or whatever it is, and we're on our way. So it's going to be really simple.
So obviously, with auto registration, you bought a car in Panama. Did you find that was a difficult process, or did you enlist some help of someone to buy a car?
Actually, we bought a car from another gringo who was going back to the States, who was a musician, which of course started the whole getting involved in the music scene business. But no, we had to go down to, down to the city hall and go through the process of this paper, that paper, these copies. And of course, copies aren't made on site. You have to go down the street. And but after an hour or two of running around, we got it done. And you leave with your title in your hand. So it's not like you have to do a bunch of stuff and wait for it to come in the mail. So that was
Yeah.
easy. The other one, we had to get a bigger vehicle to hold all the band equipment. So that we bought from the neighbor. And that was the Panama City one that we had to switch the registration to here. But once it's registered here and you already own it, it's real simple every year just to, get it inspected, make sure your insurance document's up to date, and go to the town hall and, get it renewed. So, no, it really hasn't been that big a deal.
Before you moved to Panama, did you and your husband come down and do a look-see trip and just check things out?
We probably didn't do near as thorough of a checking out as everybody recommends. So we took our first trip to Panama City, and I looked out the window as the plane was landing and went, "Oh my God, it's so beautiful there. Okay, I love it. I'll live there." So we liked the country a lot, but like I said, the city was a little much. So our second trip, we came to David, and we spent 5 days here, and we're like, "Yeah, this will work. Okay, good." So we went home, started packing. So that's really not a thorough trip, but I figured, what's the worst that can happen? This isn't as good as we thought. It's not working out. Okay, let's look for the next place we want to live.
Yeah, you can
But it's
always
worked out
move.
wonderfully.
And even, I would say probably, oh, maybe 20% of the people that come on a tour, we show them all over the country to help them decide the right place to move to. But some people will move, like you said, to Boquete, and they decide, oh, it's just too cold. So they have to move to a lower elevation where it's just a little bit warmer. Or they'll move to the beach and they say, yeah, I've always wanted to live by the beach, but it's too hot or it's too humid. And then they just move up to a different area. So the worst that can happen whenever you move here and the first place that you pick, if it doesn't turn out to be just right, is move. You can move here in Panama or move back to where you came from, but you're not a tree. You can still move.
Well, and that's an advantage to renting rather than buying, because if you buy, it's way more complicated to move. Or if you bring piles of stuff, people move down here with an entire container and buy a house, and then if they find out it's not working out, then they're really stuck.
Yeah.
So I think it's much better to leave yourself options. Don't bring a ton of stuff. Rent a place, try it out, make sure it works. You can always store your stuff and ship it down later if you really want to keep your stuff. But I think, yeah, because there's really no way to tell for sure how your new life is going to feel until you actually live it for a few months.
Right.
I
Well, that's
mean,
what we tell every
I can tell you how I feel, but that's not going to be how you feel or somebody else feels.
We tell everybody on the Panama relocation tour, rent for at least 6 months, a year would be better before you even think about it. And for many people, just rent forever. You don't have to buy whenever you come down here. Rent is super affordable in a lot of places. Many of the homes come furnished, and if they don't come furnished, it's not that much to get furniture right here. So we highly recommend that people just rent. Whenever they come down here and bring down as little stuff as possible. Anything you need, you can get it right here. And it is not cheap to ship stuff down here in a shipping container or even a crate. It's not a very affordable to do that. So it's better to live here for 6 months and make sure you like it before you even consider shipping anything down.
And then I hear people who ship down a bunch of stuff and find out it doesn't fit their new life down here. So they don't even use it. It's hard to know what's going to work for you. I mean, even us, I wear different clothes than I ever expected. You know, I've got different furniture than I would have chosen if I had shipped stuff down. But yeah, I was supposed to get a furnished house, and I fell in love with this little house. So I went to the Do It Center with my credit card and spent like $2,500 in one night. And that gal is still a good friend of mine. But I went in there and I bought the washer, the refrigerator, the beds, the sheets, the towels, the pillows, the paint, the table. I mean, I just furnished the whole house in one night. So it can be done.
It can be done, and it's a whole lot cheaper than shipping down a container full of things.
Yeah. And then you get local stuff because I've heard people that ship down furniture and then it doesn't do well in the humidity. We have plastic tables. They're not fancy, but you can scrub them with a scrub brush if they get messed up. You know, they fit our lifestyle. We're into function and doing what we want to do. If I want to pull out my paint, you know, I'm not going to ruin anything. So you just really don't know what you're going to need until you start living here. It's just different.
Well, one of the things that a lot of people do is they have to, everyone needs to really reassess your priorities and what's important in your life. When I moved from Texas, I had this huge house in Texas and four bedrooms and two living areas. And I didn't need any of that stuff. And now I moved into a little house that's about 900 square feet, and it's all I need. So you really have to just decide what's more important to you. Is it the big fancy house and the fancy car, or is it just having a low stress, no stress, tranquil, liberating lifestyle?
You
Nobody
tell
can
me about
answer.
that house, the first thing I think is, who's going to clean all that?
I know. Yep, exactly. So any other advice that you have for someone that's thinking about moving down here before I go to some of the questions that have come in?
I said, just really be flexible and keep an open mind and don't expect anything. Just kind of go with the flow and let it happen. You know, if you really insist on things being a certain way, you may get really frustrated. But, you know, if you're just like, oh, okay, this is the way it goes here, we can live with that, I think you'll be a lot happier. Just, you know, just be relaxed about it. People don't show up on time, so what? You know, or things are a hassle to do. It's like, we're retired, we have time, we'll figure it out. It gets done eventually. You know, just,
So
I
what?
think the Type A personality type might have a harder time adjusting.
But they usually chill out after a while.
Well, you either do or you're not happy here.
Yeah, one of the two. So, why don't you tell everybody what your blog is, and they can check some of the articles that you've written about your life here in Panama, and keep a good way to keep in touch with you.
I think if you Google the Panama Adventure, it'll probably bring it up. If I
Okay.
remember, the address is like blog.thepanamaadventure.com.
Yeah, if you Google the Panama Adventure, it'll come right up. And that's Chris with a K, by the way, for people
Yes.
that start looking for it. So do you mind if I open it up for some questions from
No.
people that are listening in? So if anybody has a question, all you need to do is press *6, and that puts you in line to ask a question. We already have six or seven people in line to ask some questions. Before we go to the questions, I just want to mention one thing about Panama relocation tours. Obviously, with the borders closed, we can't do any tours here in Panama. We don't know when the borders are going to open, so we don't know when we can do tours again. Our tours are already sold out through the end of the year, and I know people are anxious to come and check out Panama and come on a tour, but they're sold out. So you have two choices. You can either get on our backup list, and if you just go to the page that says Book a Tour, there's a link there for you to get on our backup list, and we'll notify you if we get an opening. But we also just started a couple of months ago offering a new online version of the tour, because the tours, they're sold out, and some people, they just don't want to be with a group touring Panama after this whole pandemic thing. So our online version, if you click look at the top of our page, Panama Relocation Tours, and click on The Guide, then that's an online version of the tour that teaches all the same things that you would learn during a tour, but you can easily just do it right from home. Before you ever get here, you learn about getting a visa, getting your pet here, shipping furniture, finding a rental, healthcare options, health insurance options, and a lot more. So be sure and check out the information about the guide. So I'm going to go to our first caller is James. I think it's area code 405. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I wanted to let you know I got your guide, and my family's just waiting for this quarantine to end. We're a really young couple. We're going to be moving to Boquete. I plan to, you know, do a stop right beforehand, but we've already decided we for sure are going.
Right.
But I wanted to ask, when it comes to dogs, our dogs are our children to us, what hazards or risks are there around the Boquete area for our dogs, such as like the snakes or those toads, and how do people protect their dogs against things like that? Like, I'm used to just letting my dogs out in my backyard and my 6-foot privacy fence and letting them just go for 10 minutes and then calling them back in. You know, how does that go in Boquete?
Well, when you first move here, I would not recommend that you just open up the door and let your dogs out. You need to go out with them. Probably for several months at least, because they're probably going to see a cane toad, which is a great big frog that has this poison that it emits
right,
out of the
that's
spine
what I heard
of
about.
Its back. And
okay.
So when if you see one of those frogs and your dog is going for it, you need to yell at it and just get it trained that as soon as it sees one, danger, danger, don't go there, and just get your dog trained to stay away from them. I know there's some areas in Boquete, they do have some snakes, and other areas don't, so it kind of depends on where you are. But once again, you just need to kind of train your – you could even maybe get a rubber snake or something and start training your dog now when they see – or a rubber frog. When they see these things, stay away from it.
No.
I don't have a dog. Chris, do you have a dog?
Yeah, she's just a street dog that kind of adopted us. And thankfully, she seems to ignore the cane toads because we see one occasionally.
Right.
Yeah, but it definitely is a concern because I know one of my neighbors lost a dog to a cane toad. So they're out there.
Street dogs are smarter.
Right. Now, my other question to it is, are you allowed, or do they ever try to get rid of those animals? Is that like, you know, normally here in America, you know, if there's a raccoon or something, they try to get it out of the neighborhood or things like that.
No.
Do they do that in Panama?
No.
No. Are you allowed to yourself?
Yeah, you can kill it if you want to. Most people would scoop up a toad with a shovel and just throw it someplace else.
Just catapult it.
catapult it. You can do that. Some people would kill it. In my yard, now I live at a higher elevation in Boquete. My house is about 1,200, 1,300 feet higher than downtown Boquete, so it's much cooler. And in all the time I've been here, which is 10, almost 11 years, I've only seen two cane toads on my property.
So maybe the higher elevation might be a little bit safer, you think, maybe?
It would be. There's less chance of a snake in cane. You know, if you go up a little bit higher, less chance of snakes, less chance of the toads.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because that's the biggest deal to me. Because like I said, they're my children. You know, if I lost them to something so silly as that, that would devastate me. So I'll be going out on them.
You want to, don't just open up the door and let them out. So they don't have to be on a leash on your property, but you want to go outside with them. And if they do encounter that, you need to train them. Stay away. Thanks for your question.
On that as well, are you allowed to have a 22? Is that a thing? To, like, pop them?
No.
No, okay.
What's a 22, a gun?
Yeah, you can't own a gun in Panama. You can't buy a gun until you get a gun permit. You can't get a gun permit until you get your permanent visa, and then even then it's going to take a while. You can at our Do It Center, which is kind of like a Home Depot. You can buy pellet guns or BB guns and things like that.
Okay, the perfect.
Permit.
Awesome. All righty. Thank you all so much. Y'all have a great day and stay safe.
And everybody here has machetes too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next caller, area code 240. Go ahead.
Hello, Jackie. This is Kate. I've been on your January tour, and I was trying to come back during the summer so I could, you know, stay a little while in other places, but that didn't happen. But,
well, maybe.
But anyway, I wanted to know about you touched on a little bit of what I had, so I'll be specific with it to ask Chris. What do you do? What kind of activities do you do with your Panamanian friends? Because, see, I'm the kind that want to acculturate, you know, because I know some Spanish, and I really want to acculturate with the people of the country. So I was wondering, what kind of things do you do with your neighbors and your Panamanian friends? That's my first question.
Probably the most things we do is hanging out. Come over, visit me. I'll come over, visit you,
okay.
See what you're cooking. How did you cook that? What are you doing? What are you growing in your yard? What is that plant? How do you grow it? You know, so for me, it's fascinating to learn about how they live their lives here. Sometimes we go shopping together. Sometimes
okay.
we go walking together. But the vast majority of it is just visiting each other, seeing what's going on.
No, that's good. That's good. And what would a normal day be like for you?
For me,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'd probably get up, have breakfast on the terrace, check my email and whatnot, maybe do my singing practice if the weather's not too hot. If we're not on quarantine, I'd probably take my bike out, see if there's any errands to do, or just, you know, go tootling around town, come home, write on my blog, visit my neighbors.
Do they have any decent gyms there in David?
Yes, they do, actually. I'm not a gym person, but if you want that, I know of, I think, at least three or four. One of them is right not too far from our neighborhood here. So, yeah, that's definitely an option.
And my last question is, do they – now, when I came, I saw, you know, a lot of American supermarkets and all of that. But do they have any, like, outside food markets, you know, where you can buy anything, you know, like the locals would do, go to and buy their food, like fruit and
like a farmer's market?
Meat. Yeah, on a regular basis or at least a couple times a week.
There's vegetable markets all over the place here in Cherokee. They grow a lot of the produce here, which is one reason I love Cherokee. So they bring it down from the mountains like every day. We get fresh vegetables and fruits at cheap prices. It's just wonderful.
Okay.
There's also little eateries where you can get lunch. A typical lunch is like beans or lentils and rice, a piece of pork or chicken, a little salad, something to drink, you know, mostly what the working people go for lunch.
Right. Uh-huh.
So you can pick that up for probably, what, $4, something like that. And I think it's good. If, you know, some people think Panamanian food is boring, but I enjoy it.
Okay.
And then there's Chinos all over town, which is little convenience stores. If you just want to go in and buy two eggs, you know, you can do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Thanks for the question. Next caller is area code 702. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Frank and Beth from outside Las Vegas. We were supposed to be there in April, but obviously we've had to reschedule for July. However, our question relative to David is, I was reading, isn't there a proposed rail line from David to Panama City? Have you heard anything about that, Chris?
What was that again? I didn't quite hear you.
He was asking about the proposed rail line from David to Panama City that actually got nixed by our current president whenever he took office in July.
I thought that was dead. So, Frank, do we know each other? Have we emailed before?
I may have hit your blog. I did so many when my wife and I were first starting to explore options. My other question, if you don't mind, is, Chris, how much do you pay for internet and what speed do you get? Because that's a big part of our lives.
I think we get 5 or 6 megabytes, and I forget what we pay, like 38 a month maybe. It's a bundle thing with internet and TV, but we don't use the TV.
Because originally we were thinking of looking strictly in the Boquete or Volcan region, but now we're thinking, you know, David is something we might want to live there for 3 or 4 months and just see how we like it. Thank you very much.
Well,
thank
wherever you.
You
go, be sure you ask about the internet because it's not the same in all areas. There could be internet in one neighborhood and 4 blocks away. They got to pay 3 times as much for much less internet. So be sure you check that out when you decide where you want to live.
Yeah, and some areas have fiber optics where the lowest speed you can get is 100 megabits of internet speed. So don't ever ask, do they have high-speed internet? You need to ask who's the internet service provider and what speed before you rent a house. You might even do a speed check on your cell phone if you have an app on your cell phone to do a speed test on what the internet speed is when you're looking at rentals. Next caller, I believe, is Jason. Go ahead.
Hi, Chris and Jackie. Thanks so much for taking the call. We're taking your tour in November, and we're really excited and hearing so much about everything that's going on. You've answered a bunch of the questions, I guess, already, but just the one was, my wife's going to have the availability to probably come down a year or two before myself, and I'm looking at safety for herself. You know, I'll be able to come down probably every 3 or 4 months or so, but it's like one of the things I want to make sure she's all set. And the other one was that you answered was acquiring a car down there, a quality car that we could have and be safe with too. So, and the David area sounds very interesting now. So just going through everything, but looking forward to the tour.
Great.
Well,
look,
I know there is.
You.
There's a guy in Boquete who helps a lot of expats find quality cars. So ask Jackie. I'm sure she can connect you with him.
Yeah, during the tour, we're going to connect you with several different people that are car brokers that will help you find a good car.
And there's a lot of single women in the David Boquete area who are doing just fine.
Yep. Okay, next caller, area code 515. Go ahead.
Yes, concerning Panama City. Do you actually... I haven't heard anything about a visit to Panama City. I'd kind of be interested in visiting Panama City. If we don't go there on a tour, is there someone that you can put me in touch with after the tour that
well,
I might be able to?
Yeah, we can do that. What we would encourage you to do would be to fly into Panama a day or two early. And then we have a contact in Panama City that can do a tour of the Panama City area if that's what the area that you're interested in. And all the time that we used to do Panama City, the first couple days of the tour, back in 2010, 2011, but so many people thought it was just too expensive and too crowded and too noisy. So there just wasn't an interest in Panama City. So we kind of focus on areas where the majority of the people are interested. But if you came in a few days early or stayed a few days after the Panama relocation tour, we can certainly put you in touch with people that can show you different residential areas in that area. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, I believe, is Miles.
Yeah.
Or maybe Martha. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. I live in the Des Moines area right now, Des Moines, Iowa area right now. My question is, I mean, I think a lot of this, it checks all the boxes for me. It sounds terrific. What I don't hear people talk a lot about is kind of what happens at the sort of other end of life when people are starting to get less mobile, starting to maybe not be able to care for themselves, you know, that type of thing. What do people do, and are there services available, and you know, what's the typical kind of thing that happens as people get older and have a harder time making it on their own?
So I know several people that have moved here that have gotten into that situation. Maybe after having a surgery, they needed some extra care, or just their health deteriorated, and they needed some extra care. So there are home health care companies that are here that they can arrange for someone to come to your house 3 days a week or 5 days a week or 7 days a week. There's live-in health care is available. There are a few assisted living homes that are, I know there's one in David that I've heard is very good. I haven't been there. I don't know about it, but I've heard it's very good also. Some people move back to be closer to family if they have family.
Okay.
But I'll say one thing. The respect here for older people is way different than in the States. I mean, I think probably the quality of care you could get here would be much cheaper and much better because they really revere the older people. So that was nice to feel here.
Yeah, that's terrific. Thank you so
much. Okay. Thank you. So we got time for about two more questions. So I've got, I think, Ron. Yeah. Next caller. Okay. Alfonso, how are you?
Fine. How about yourself, Jackie?
I'm good. Good to see you. Good to see your name there. Alfonso came on my tour several years ago.
Yes, and we are thinking of doing another one when this pandemic is over. One question that we'd like is, what taxes do you pay in Panama?
So it depends. If you don't have a product where you're selling, if you're not selling any products or not selling any services in Panama, then you don't have to pay any taxes at all, none. But if you do have, you are selling, if you have a business and you're selling a product or you're selling a service in Panama, then you do have taxes in Panama. But most people don't pay any taxes at all. Panama has a territorial taxing system, and they only tax you on the income that you make in Panama, not on any income from other countries.
Oh, so how about sales tax?
Well, yeah, you're going to have sales. Yeah, you're going to have sales tax. I think it's 7%.
And city tax or any kind of taxes from the government?
No, some people have. If you own property, then you may have some property taxes, but they're super, super low, like 0.5%, and there's sales tax, but there's just not many taxes. You know, if you buy a new cell phone, you're going to have sales tax on the new cell phone. If you buy certain groceries, you could have some sales tax on that, but the taxes are very, very low.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
I look forward to seeing you both again.
Yes, we plan on that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next caller. I don't know the number. 120440, it says, but I don't know the name or number, so I've unmuted someone's line.
Maybe that's me. My name's Gene. I'm from Chicago, 312.
That's it. How are you, Gene?
Good, Jackie. Good, Chris. Couple quick questions. First, I'm a city mouse. I live in Chicago. What are the movies like? Do they have a baseball team? Any kind of classical music, concerts? And ethnic restaurants, and then one other thing is, what about public transportation? And if I would live in a place that might be a little cooler, like Dolega, how easy is it to get in and out of town?
You want to answer some of those, Chris?
I say public transportation is everywhere. There's even a little van that comes around our neighborhood here every hour and picks people up, and it's inexpensive and really efficient. And what else did you ask about the cultural scene?
Yeah, baseball, movies.
Baseball is huge in Panama. Mm-hmm. Baseball and soccer. They live for baseball. So there's a huge new stadium here. Well, it's not new, but it's just gone through a big upgrade down here in David that's really used a lot. Concerts,
movies.
Classical music, probably not so much. Occasionally they'll have a concert up in Boquete. But, you know, if you're into that, thank goodness for the internet where you can access all kinds of stuff.
And the other thing is you can take a bus from David, where Chris lives, to Panama City. where they do have orchestras and the ballet and the symphony orchestras and all those things are available, you might want to just spend a couple of days there and go in for a concert. To take a bus there is less than $20.
I'd probably fly because it's about six, 7 hours.
Or you can fly. Yeah, you'd be there in 35 minutes if you do an Air Panama, so you can fly. But we do have in Boquete, where I live, at our public library, it's a huge library, and they have classical music concerts there. Also, in one of our gated community called Valle Escondido, they have a huge amphitheater, and they do classical music concerts there and ballet every once in a while. So sports is really big. And then as far as television, you can get cable TV here, which will have like 250 channels. Some things are in English, some things are in Spanish. Some of the movies are in English, some are in Spanish. But a lot of people instead, they will get like an Amazon Fire Stick. That's what I have. And then you have access to TV, news and TV and movies in English from all over the world.
What about movie
also,
theater?
We have some
say,
really
and
nice.
There's three movie theaters here too.
Cool.
And they do have movies in English with Spanish subtitles. I've been to the movie theater in downtown David, and for a first run movie, you get 50% off with your Jubilado discount or your Pensionado discount on movie theaters. I think I paid $2 to go to the movie, and then I got a discount on the popcorn and a drink that I got also. So for under $5, I was going to a first-run movie with a huge screen and really nice acoustics. There's a new mall that opened up just before the pandemic, and they put in a huge movie theater there. I haven't been to it yet, but I've heard it's really, really nice. And this new mall will have 400 stores when it's all finished and be the second largest mall in Latin America. There's a big movie theater there that is going to have movies in English or Spanish.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. I got one more caller. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, your question was just answered by the last caller, or one of the last callers, or my question. But I'm curious, I don't drive, so can you tell me more about public transit in David?
Well, like we said, there's buses everywhere, so they're easy to use. There's also taxis. Probably at most it would cost you $3 to go from one side of town to the other. A lot of people will take the bus to the supermarket and then pick up a taxi to go home with all their stuff. And there's always taxis hanging around the supermarkets and various other places in town. There's a lot of people here who live their entire lives without owning a car. So it's really set up for that.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Also, you know, when you move here, you'll get to know people, and you'll say, you know, do you have any favorite taxi drivers? And you just make sure you get those numbers put on speed dial in your phone, and you can call a taxi driver and say, hey, I have a doctor appointment tomorrow at 10. Could you pick me up? And just make arrangements for them to get it. Also, in David, they now have Uber, so you can use Uber. Which is sometimes even cheaper than a taxi driver. So Uber's readily available in the David and in Panama City also. Not so much in other areas, but it is available in David.
Very good.
So,
thank you.
Yep. Uh-huh. So, Chris, I want to thank
you. And again, people are super helpful about helping you find the right bus and get to where you need to go. So that's nice.
Yes, very helpful. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us for this 1 hour for our conference call. I'm doing these every single Saturday because people really want to, they're curious about Panama. They want to come to Panama. So these weekly conference calls that I'm doing give them a little insight into what it's like to live here by me interviewing someone that already lives here in Panama. So thank you again so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been fun. I've enjoyed it.
And thank you to everybody that called in on the conference call tonight, too. I really appreciate you calling in on Saturday, and we'll do this again next Saturday at 5 o'clock. Thanks, everybody. Good night.